Okay, one more time. Nechemi Perches Pasik Tes. V'yev Nechemiyahu Hatir Shasana. By the way, something very interesting. I was not aware of this, but I assume that as a Dover Pasha, at the beginning of the Seder, beginning of Perikhes, everything that's taking place from the Pasuk Perikhes, Pasuk Aleph onward, is taking place 35 years after Ezra came to Eretz Yisrael. Even though in Perik Zion, Nehemiah reviews in great detail what happened when Ezra came to Eretz Yisrael, and he lists all of the 42,360 people, and we discussed at great length that there are changes to reflect what has happened over the 35 years. But basically, he's reviewing, he's focusing back on what happened 35 years ago. Now everyone gathers in the first month. It's now the first month, and that and at end of the pasuk that last that second half of pasuk Ayin Gimel. The end of Perek Zion was now a transition into what's about to happen now in the time of Nehemiah. 35 years later, Ezra is 35 years older. He was no youngster when he came up 35 years ago. He's now a Zokin Muflung. He's about 120 years old. And now a lot has happened. They're much more secure. The walls are complete. And they bring out the Sefer Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. Ezra reads, and Ezra makes all these new takanis, Tarshe Bal Peh, Amaturgumon, and he makes the bracha, and so on and so forth. But not everyone agrees to that. Someone even wanted to be Mudaik in Rashi, that this event that's taking place here took place 35 years ago. It took place, and Nehemiah here, we're going back in time. We learned Perek Zayin, how the wall was built. That's right, the wall was built 35 years later, after Ezra came, and at the end of Perek, in the beginning of Perek Zayin, we learned how Ezra was disappointed that there were not enough people to live in Yerushalayim after the wall was built. So now he goes and he brings out the records to see who has arrived here 35 years ago. Where are they living? Let's make an accounting. Maybe we can convince them to come and live within the walls of Yerushalayim. And he goes over the whole process. And he continues to describe in detail what happened 35 years ago. So that totally changed the whole picture. So it's a record of what's happened 35 years ago. This whole story of Ezra comes and he gives a bracha, and the people are going to be in a state of mourning that they're ignorant of the laws of Rosh Hashanah, and he has to tell them, don't worry, it took place 35 years ago. That's not the simple understanding. I think someone learned that that's how Rashi, the deacon Rashi in the beginning. Now, I don't know the Deacon Rashi. I saw this in the Art Scroll. The Art Scroll, Nehemiah, says that according to Rashi, I couldn't find which Rashi, this event took place 35 years ago. But according to other Rishonim, it's taking place now, 35 years later, as we simply understand. So something to keep in mind as we'll go through some of the psukim that we're going to encounter.
Let's sort of make sense with the idea that Nehemiah wrote both, and that's why some of the things...
Well, that's Pashut. Ezra for sure wrote both.
What I mean is, but it makes sense according to that Cheshbin.
Yeah.
He didn't go after the numbers because he trusted his own numbers.
Okay.
He wrote it the first time.
Right.
In Ezra. He wrote it the second time. So
to reflect changes,
a name here or a name there. But the numbers he knows in his mind didn't change because he wrote them both. I mean...
Yeah. Okay.
Rabbi Levine?
Yes.
Regarding authorship.
Yeah.
The Pasuk Hey, by Yiftach Ezra HaSefer.
Yes.
Who would write that term?
Who wrote that term? Nehemiah wrote that term. Nehemiah wrote the entire book.
Okay, very good. Now go to Pasuk Tes.
Okay.
Vayomer Nehemiah.
Nehemiah is writing about himself.
In the Torah, Vayomer Moshe.
No, would Nehemiah write Vayomer?
Yeah. It seems we have no choice.
The dichotomy.
I understand what you're saying. You have the, I guess you can say in Chamishe Chumshe Torah. You have different psuk. Moshe wrote the whole Chamishe Chumshe Torah. Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh. HaKodesh Baruch Hu told them what to write. And there are also some psukim which are in first person, some psukim which are in second person. But there is a very basic question, Kriyashma. Kriyashma, who's speaking? Who's speaking in Kriyat Shema? It's part of Mishnah Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, I will give. So Pashab Shad, I think 99% of the people understand Vinasati means that he's representing a Kadosh Baruch Hu. But look carefully in all the Mefarshim, take out the Megros Gedolos, and not everyone understands it like that. They take Mishnah Torah very literally. Moshe Rabbeinu Eile HaDvarim Asher Diber Moshe El Kol Yisrael. Chumash Devarim is Moshe Rabbeinu's personal drasha. And when Moshe Rabbeinu says Vinosati, it literally means I, Moshe Rabbeinu, will grant you rain. What does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu has the koyach to give geshem, to give bracha. The Ribbono Shel Olam is the one that gives bracha. It's a difficulty. It's a very big difficulty because if you're consistent in understanding that Mishneh Torah was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, and this is the fundamental difference between Chumash Devarim and the other four Chumashim. The other four Chumashim was Mipiga Gvura, and Chumash Devarim is Mipi Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu's own personal approach to understand the mitzvos. There's a very great difficulty. How can Moshe Rabbeinu say Vinosati? Later he says, if you're not going to behave yourself, Moshe is not saying that I will get angry at you. Hashem will get angry at you and withhold rain from heaven. But when it comes to the barach of giving Hashem, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying, I will give. So you see such difference in expression even within Chumash itself. So certainly when it comes to Ksuvim, you have to also come on and say those same ideas. A little further. Again, we have this Nechemi, who is Nechemi, he is Hatirshas, he had many names. The Ezra Koin, again, he's called Hatirshas because he was the Heter Shasa. They allowed him to drink from the wine of Koresh. He was the, or Daryavesh, he was the Sar Hamashkim, and the Bezdin allowed him to taste, to be turned from the Yain, that it should not be, that they should not see. That's what the Sar Hamashkim had to do. He had to be turned from the Yain in order the king would not suspect that the wine has been poisoned. And they were matter, the Ezra HaKoyin HaSoifer, the HaLevim, HaMevinim Esa'am, the Levim which made the people understand, L'chol Ha'am. What did these three groups of people say? Ezra, Nehemiah, Ezra, and the Levim. They spoke L'chol Ha'am to all of the people that were gathered there in front of the Shar Hamayim. Hayoim Kodosh Hu LaHashem Elokeichem. Today is a holy day. Today was Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Tishrei. It is a holy day for Hashem Elokeichem. Al tis'ablu, do not mourn. V'al tifku, do not cry. Kivoichim kolam, why? Why did Ezra and Nehemiah and the Levim have to tell them not to stop crying and stop mourning? Kivoichim kolam, because the people were crying, kishamam, estivri hatar, when they heard the words of the Torah. And that's a very difficult, why? What exactly did they hear the words of the Torah that made them cry? So we discussed this. Either they heard the Teicha, which is very strange, because we don't learn the Teicha on Rosh Hashanah. Like we said a few times, on Rosh Hashanah, we learn Vashem Pokad Esara. This is obviously a very, relatively speaking, a very modern minuk. But at this time, it appears that Ezra learned for them the Teicha, or, and they were very afraid that they're going to be punished by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all of their sins. Or other commentators explained that they read for them the Parshas Emor, or Parshas Re'eh, the laws of the Mo'adim, and they were crying out of ignorance that we don't even know the basic halachas. We're not observing. We did not even know that you're supposed to blow shofar today. We never heard of this. We never heard such a thing. Yom Yibaba. Today's Yom Azikaron. All of the laws of the Mu'adim, they were ignorant. And they cried how far they have fallen from their tradition from going back years ago. And that's why they were in a state of mourning and a state of sadness. And therefore Ezra, Nehemiah, and the Kohanim had to be mechazik the people not to mourn, not to cry, because it's a Yom Tov, and on Yom Tov you're not allowed to mourn. There is no avelus on Yom Tov. Kol Am Hakesham Es Dibri HaTorah. Bayom Elohem, Ezra then said to them, Luchu Ichlu Mashmanim, eat. Do not fast. Eat mashmanim, delicacies, things of that are fat, fatty foods. Ushesu mamtakim, drink things that are sweet. Vishilchu manos le'ein nachon lo. Very powerful expression. Send mishloach manos. Now this is not a joke. If you look in the Likutim on Rosh Hashanah, okay, Every good Likud Sefer on Rosh Hashanah, these compendiums that bring all things down, they will always mention that on Rosh Hashanah there is such a custom, talk about Minhagim, to set Mishloach Manos. Mishloach Manos is not just for Purim. In Purim, it's explicit in the Megillah. Mishloach Manos ish lireyehu matanos le'avyonim. But on Rosh Hashanah there is such a Minhag. Before Rosh Hashanah, you shall send your friends and family gifts of food that they will enjoy on the Yom Tov. It's brought down, all the Svarim, based upon this Pasuk. This is the simple reading of the Pasuk. Vishilchu monos le'ein nocholo. Send gifts to those that do not have food prepared for them. Now, it's not like on Purim. Purim, it says you send a gift no matter what, even if the person has or does not have. Here it says only to those that do not have. But they became accustomed. Today you don't see it done. You don't see, but there is such an inyan. Now, that's not the simple halacha of the Pasuk. The symbol in the understanding of the Pasuk, it's a Gemara, is this is one of the sources for Erev Tavshilin. Okay, so now you learn Sechta Ervin. So Erev, what's Erev now? It's only derived indirectly. This year, it appears, was a three-day Yom Tov. We know from many sources in this parak that Rosh Hashanah was 2 days. Not like the way we observe Bezman Hazeh, 2 days. We observe 2 days, the first day Tishrei and the second day Tishrei. But here in this time, they were observing 2 days Rosh Hashanah, the 30th day of Elul, and the first day of Tishrei. The reason why, because they're waiting for witnesses to come, it's cloudy, witnesses did not show up, so by default they had no choice but to be choshei that witnesses would come. They observed the entire 30th day, and then they observed the next day, on the first day of Tishrei. That, the first day of Tishrei, was a Friday. So it was Thursday, Friday, and then it's Shabbos. How are you going to prepare for Shabbos? You're not allowed to. It's Hachana. You're not allowed to prepare from Friday to Shabbos. So what do? You must make a Eruvei Tavshilin, an Erev Tavshilin. What happens if you forget to make an Erev Tavshilin? You're stuck.
On the Rav.
That Hakana was not yet instituted. That's what it appears. This is the Gemara. I'll read you the Gemara in a moment, if I could find it here. What? No, there's no such thing making on Yom Tov. Yeah.
They were told
to make it Thursday. They were told to make, according to the Gemara, they were told to make the Erev Tavshilin on Thursday, but many people did not. They just didn't pay attention. They were not knowledgeable in the laws of Erev Tavshilin. They didn't know the basics of that Rosh Hashanah, the day you blow shofar. So certainly they're not going to know the final details that you make in Erev Tavshilin. So they did not. So what happened? It came Shabbos, and now they were informed that if you did not make an Erev Tavshilin, you're not allowed to prepare from Friday to Shabbos. So these people needed their friends and family to send gifts because they were in the category of Ein le'ein nochon lo. It was not prepared for them. Why was it not prepared for them? Because al pi halacha they were not allowed to prepare because they did not make an erev tavshilin. From this we indirectly learn you mechuyev to make an erev tavshilin. Okay, so it's a fascinating indirect. This is a Gemara. Gemara learns from this pasuk such a concept. Vishulchu manos, your family and friends shall send gifts of food to people who do not have food prepared. We're learning from this that it was a 3-day Yom Tov, Thursday, Friday, Shabbos. Erev Tavshin was meant to be done before Thursday, Wednesday afternoon. And those that did not make the Erev Tavshilin, their friends and family had to send them on Shabbos, assuming there's no problem of carrying, or even before Shabbos, had to send them food for the Shabbos because they were not allowed to prepare. We indirectly learned there's something called Erev Tavshilin, Shulchan Manos Le'ein Nochalo, Ki Kodosh Hayom La'adoneinu. We say this pasuk in our davening on Rosh Hashanah. The day is holy to our Master, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called the Adoin, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he created the world on this day. That's a remez. The Adoin means he's the Master. He is the Creator. See, there are different expressions for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's Hashem, Midas Yudke Vavke, that's Midas Harachem. Elohim is Midas Hadin. But Adoin is a term which has a connotation of the Creator. Adon Olam Asher Molach B'Terem Kol Yitzir Nivra. Adon, why Adon? And why does Avram Avinu, he was the one to say Ado, he said the word Adon, he was the first one to use that expression. He was the one to recognize that Hashem is the Balabais. He created the world. Adon, so that Hashem is the master of the hosts. He created. It's a word that has a connotation of creation. Therefore, that's why the word is here being used, because the Rosh Hashanah is the day of the first day. It's not the first day of creation, but it's the day Adam was created. Adam represents the climax, the tafkid of creation. The Alte Atzu, do not be sad. Ki chedvas Hashem hi me'uschem. The joy of Hashem is your strength. That's a very difficult expression. What does it mean, the chel? So right away, jumble. We'll go backwards a little bit, but right now, just look quickly in the David. Ki chedvas Hashem, Ratzalem, a simchas yomtev. She simcha shel mitzvah. The chedvas Hashem means the simcha of yomtev. Since Hashem created this day as a yomtev, it's a day of happiness for Hashem. That's what these, it's a very interesting insight that a yomtev is not a happy day for us. It's a happy day for Hashem. Hashem did something in this world which He has pleasure from. And therefore, when we connect to Hashem's pleasure, Mimela, we have pleasure. We think, no, Hashem, everything is the same by Hashem. And we are, today we're going to be happy today. We're going to have wine, good meat, we're going to have our family get together. That's not the pshat. The reason why it's a Yom Tov for us is because it's a Yom Tov for Hashem. He did big things. He'd see us Mitzrayim, Matan Torah, Sukkos. We connect to that simcha that Hashem has, and that's what gives us strength. Ki chedvas Hashem, the joy of Hashem, he mu'uschem, that is what will give you strength. So this is what they did. Here we learn a very important halacha, that you're not allowed to fast. And Yom Tov is a day that you are not allowed to fast. Chatzi la Hashem, v'chatzi lochem. For half of the day, since it says here in the pasuk that Ezra read from the Sefer Torah from the Or HaBoiker until midday, so they weren't eating. Amdu, kola amdu, they stood still, they were silent. That took place until Chatzos. After Chatzos, they were told, don't cry, don't mourn, go eat mashmanim, shesumam takim, ki chedves Hashem himu uschem, you have to rejoice. So from here, the Gemara learns the halacha, that on a Yom Tov, chatzi la Hashem, v'chatzi lochem. Half the day is devoted for Hashem, half the day is devoted for your enjoyment. And there are other opinions in the Gemara that disagree, that's only true when it comes to Shavuos. Because Shavuos, b'Shavuos, atzeres ha'kol moedim, but generally speaking, this halach applies to all of the Yom Tovim. We derive this from Rosh Hashanah. Shabbos, those who don't have this. People make a mistake. People think on Shabbos, you're not allowed to fast. That's not necessarily so. Shabbos, Tanis Chaloim, there are situations where you are allowed to fast on Shabbos. Shabbos, the rules of Simcha are relaxed relative to Yom Tov. Yom Tov is a din of v'samachta b'chagecha. There's the pasuk over here. The Simcha of Yom Tov is much stricter, much more demanding than the Simcha there's an oinik Shabbos, and tainigon Shabbos, covid Shabbos, especially covid. But that's not necessarily a contradiction to fasting. You can be mechaved Shabbos, and you can have oinig on Shabbos, and you can fast. You can fast on Shabbos, but Yom Tov is simcha. Simcha is a contradiction to fasting. It's a whole different. People, oh yeah, Shabbos, covered Shabbos, oinig Shabbos, but it's not. There's no din simcha on Shabbos. Okay, pasuk gidal v'halavim machshim l'chol am leimar. The pasuk goes on, they silenced. The people did not want to stop crying. They had to silence them. Lamar, they said to them, Hasu. Hasu is a very unusual word. I'm not sure we have this anyway. Has Kolev. Okay, we have this by Kolev. Rabbi brings out Kolev. He silenced the people. I saw in one of the Sasfarim called Hiss. Shuh. Like even today, etymology, they say shh. So hasu, the pronounced syllable is the so hasu. That's where it comes from. Quiet, shh. Hasu, quiet. Ki hayoim kodosh, the day is holy. V'yalti otzfu, do not be sad. So it's interesting that there is repetition. There is repetition, and the repetition is not for nothing. There were different types of sadness. There was sadness on different levels. There was sadness. I'm not sure. We have to look more deeply. The apostle doesn't just say something twice for no reason. There were different degrees of sadness, and that's why they had to be repeated. Pasuk Yubeis, v'yelchu kolam lechol v'lishos, they listened. They went lechol v'lishos, to eat and to drink, v'ulishalach manos. Notice here, it does not say le'ein nochon lo. They were machner. Everyone gets a gift. I think this is the makar why there is such a minug, or there used to be a minug. You know, it's like the Gela Matzis. No one ever heard of this, right? Just because you didn't hear of it today doesn't mean that it wasn't a big thing years ago. It was a big thing years ago. I went to the bakery, I saw the Balabas in Erev Shabbos. I wanted to ask him, but he was talking to someone, so I couldn't ask him. But I was looking at the old shelf. I couldn't find anything different. I was looking at least for the round chalas on the shelves. And I came a little bit late. I didn't even see round chalas. No, that's part of the Gela chalas. The Gela matzah, it's not chalas. The part of the din is a chalos din in the Gela matzah, is that they have to be round. Because it has, since most of us have round, the Gela matzah. Gela matzah. It's supposed to be round. I told you, when I was a child, I remember very clearly asking, why the chalos round after Pesach?
No time.
It was a rush. So today there's no rush. For money, you can get everything today. Today, even if Pesach is over Thursday night, don't worry. If it's a matter of making a little bit more money, they can get the matzahs, they can get the chalas braided very quickly, guaranteed. No problem. It's a din minhag. It's a minhag, or what's called as a transition. We spoke about this, the transition between matzah to chametz. Gula matzos, and therefore it's chametz, it's challah, but it resembles a little bit matzah. Traditionally, matzah was round, not necessarily. So that's another whole debate. Are matzah supposed to be round or are matzah square? Our machine matzah is all square, but our hand matzahs, as far as I know, I never heard about hand matzahs. Have you ever seen that? Square hand matzahs? I never saw square hand matzahs.
The ugos matzahs.
Ugos. But you should know that the earliest machine matzahs were round. Check out all the articles about the history of machine matzahs. The first machine matzahs made probably at the end of the 19th century. Wait, when were they first made?
Not here, it was in Europe,
yeah. They were round. They were round, and the tshuvas, one of the criticisms they have was that it's chametz, because when they cut off the corners to make it round, the machine matzahs, they put the dough back in with the batter, and it's staying around more than 18 minutes, it's becoming chametz. And one of the innovations to satisfy all the people that were very misnaged against machine matzos, okay, we'll make the matzos square. We're not going to cut the corners anymore. But it goes to show how far it went. It was such a strange thing. No one would even eat a matzah unless it wasn't wrapped. Today we take it for square matzah. Everyone has machine matzah to some degree during the year. Square, it's like pasha to us, right? But ancient times, it was unheard of. When you made machine matzahs, it had to be round. And that became a problem. And then it became a very big debate. That's where all the literature is, do matzahs have to be round, or can they be square? And there are big places, some places say, Pumfakar in Zuchus, that it's square, Hashem will be the Kavitzas, the Arva, Kantvay Saoretz. So it's something that, you know, if you go study the history, what today to us is something that is so pashut, just go back 75 years ago, it's a different world. Whole different world. Okay, but over here it says, v'lishalach manos. Ezra, Nehemiah told them, only said, manos le'ein nochoin loy. Now, when they are responding, they're sending monos. Who? U'lishalach monos. Everyone is getting a monos. Everyone is getting a mishalach monos. It's a day of ahavas reyim. Purpose of mishalach monos is to increase v'yahavta l'reyacha k'mocha. And obviously, on the Yom Hadin, think about it. What better time is there to increase in ahavas reyim ben ish l'chavero, then on the Yom Hadin. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, as long as there's shalom between you, I'm moichel all your averos. It's a tremendous thing. So we don't do this today, but I'm telling you, go look at any good sefer on Rosh Hashanah, bring down Minhagim, bring down all, and you'll find, I'm sure the Minhag Yisrael Torah, I'm sure they're going to have it there. This Adin of L'shan Mekam Shem, these Pesukim over here. L'vassay Simcha, and Gedolah made a very great Simcha, ki hevinu by the Vodma Shahadi Lohem. Why they have great Simcha, they understood. This is a very Balabali Musa, there's no greater Simcha in life than understanding something. You learn something, you study, you come to a deep understanding in something, there's nothing you can match. There's no physical pleasure in this world that can match the simcha a person has in a deep understanding of a matter. And here they came to one, kiyevinu badvar mashahadi lochem, it was made known to them, secrets of the Torah, of what the purpose, of what was transpiring, and this was a simcha gedoyla. Kiyevinu badvar mashahadi lochem, pasuk yud gimel, uviyam hasheni, and on the second day means the second day Rosh Hashanah. There were 2 days, like we said, there were 2 days Rosh Hashanah. Ne'esvu roshei ha'ovois, they gathered Roshei Ha'avos L'chol Ha'am HaKoyhanim V'Halevim, the Roshei Ha'avos of L'chol Ha'am, of all of the people, who did they gather to HaKoyhanim V'Halevim, L'chol Ha'am, and the HaKoyhanim V'Halevim, El Ezra HaSoifer U'LaHaskil Es Divrei HaTorah. So now it appears that on the second day, the advanced people, on the first day, there was a general gathering of the Hamoinam, of the entire Klal Yisrael, 42,000, but on the second day, the Hamoinam went home, and just the leaders went in for a private session with Ezra to be instructed things on a higher level, how to teach the Hamoinam.
So Rosh Ha'avos, one group, and the Kohanim, another.
Yes, it appears so.
Group?
It definitely, it appears so. No.
Kohanim and Leviyim.
You probably, if you look hard enough, you'll probably find two opinions. That's my gut feeling.
Sorry.
But on a simple level, I would say it's two groups. What does Rashi say? The Rosh Ha'avos, Pasuk Yud Gimel, doesn't say anything. The Sudos, Pasuk Yud Gimel, L'cholam Shel Kolam. Period. It's one group. Next group. The Mitzudos is saying the word lichol should be substituted in translation as shell. Shell kol. To a shell kol ha'am. Then we have hakoyhanim. Then we have a halavim. They gather Ezra ha'sefer ha'skil. And what was the purpose of gathering? The purpose of gathering was to have a deeper understanding of es divrei ha'torah. Vayimsu, let's go in Vayimsu. What do they find? Vayimsu Kasabat Torah. What do they find? Asher Tziva Hashem Yad Moshe. Now we're coming to something fasting. Now we're coming to, they're being taught about the mitzvah of Sukkah. Okay, so we have first the mitzvah, we know Rosh Hashanah, we know what happened. And now on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, the second day, seemingly it's this way. Yom HaSheni is the second day of Rosh Hashanah, second day of the month.
I'm not Yom Kippur.
They skip Yom Kippur, that's why they're not being taught. The Mitzudas here says of Yom HaSheni and Rashi both Shel Rosh Hashanah. So it's Aleph Tishrei, the second day of Rosh Hashanah. They're coming to, the Rosh Hashanah are coming, and on Rosh Hashanah itself, they're being taught about the mitzvah of Sukkah. Very interesting. How many people today in Rosh Hashanah are worrying about Sukkah? Okay, in Rosh Hashanah, you're worrying about Yom Kippur, you're worrying about Rosh Hashanah. You're not learning Masechta Rosh Masechta Sukkah. You know, in the Machzor, in the art school Machzor of Rosh Hashanah, it has in the back Masechta Rosh Hashanah. And in the art school Machzor of Yom Kippur, it has in the back Masechta Yuma. You don't have in the back of the art school Machzor for Rosh Hashanah Masechta Sukkah. Right? It's not in Yoni de Yoima. Sukkah, we have 8 days of Sukkah, so we'll get to it. But here it says, "Vayoyim Hashem Nesvu Rosh Avos L'cholam Hakoyhan V'Alivim Alos Rosh Hashanah V'Leskol Zdivya Torah V'Yimtzu Chosuf." It was a discovery. It was something new to them. A Mitzia. V'Yimtzu Chosuf B'Torah Asher Tziva Hashem B'Yad Moshe Asher Yeshu V'Nei Yisrael Basukos. Everyone shall live in Sukkos. Bechog, in the festival, Bachodesh Hashavi, in the seventh month, 15 days from today, there will be Sukkos. V'asher, Yashmiu, V'aviu, V'asher, and furthermore, Yashmiu, V'aviu, Kol B'chol Arehem, U'v'Yushalayim Lamar, and it was made known to them by Ezra, they should make a proclamation throughout the land. Everyone should get ready for Sukkos. Yashmi v'yavi, they shall make it heard, and v'yavi, they shall pass a call, a proclamation, b'chol oreihem, uvi v'shalayim, le'mar tzu'u ha'har, go out. Of course, they're not being told to do this in Rosh Hashanah. They're going to be told to do this the next day, this the second day of Tishrei. Tzu'u ha'har, go out into the mountains, v'haviu, bring all the different types of materials that are fit for schach. What now? We'll discuss a little more detail in a moment. But simply, there are different opinions in the Gemara as to what they're being told to do. Simply, it means they're being told to bring materials for schach. And here we learn all the Torah says. The Torah nowhere tells us what to use for schach. All it says is Chag HaSukkos Taslucha BaSukkos Teishu Shivas Yamim. We do not know in the Torah what is schach. Can you use for schach? Can you use boards, beams, metal? Yeah.
I just want to ask a question. I was historically, all the time before Ezra came,
did they observe Sukkot?
Yeah. They didn't keep Rosh Hashanah. They didn't keep Sukkot. I mean,
they definitely did. They definitely did, but there were different periods of time of where their observance was better and their observance was worse. We know that during the time of the Nevi'im, there was Avodah Zarah. And it's debated when it says there was rampant Avodah Zarah. Does that mean everyone in Klal Yisrael was doing Avodah Zarah? Or it means Yechidim, and the Pesukim are still magnifying what sinners were doing. But putting that aside, there's no question there were different periods in history where people were more observant. The Hamoinam, and the Hamoinam was less observant. Like in our own lifetimes, there are certain things that we know years ago people were just not into. And today, everyone, it's become a big thing. I mean, I want to give some examples to the Lag BaOmer. I don't know, when I was a kid, it wasn't such a big deal, Lag BaOmer. Today, it became a big deal. Everything I mean, today, a much bigger deal.
Sukkah, when I was a kid,
yeah.
Who had a sukkah?
Three Russian yeshivas shared a lulav and esrog. A lulav and esrog. Today, every little kid has their own little lulav and esrog. So, right, but here, so the answer to your question is it's not known. We really don't know the answer. That's what it'd say. Either could very well be that they didn't. For 95 years, they did not. They sunk to such a low level, they were completely ignorant of all the mitzvahs. There was a chorban, and even at the time of the chorban, there was terrible ignorance. There was Avodah Zarah. They were terrible. We're talking about the Bayit.
The Beis HaMikdash was rebuilt before Ezra came on.
Yes, yeah, so when they rebuilt it, what did they do already? They brought korbanos. There was no formal, the dinim derabanan did not yet exist. There was no Shulchan Aruch. Everything was an oral tradition. Much of what they had, they forgot. They didn't have a Shulchan Aruch. They didn't have davening three times a day. They didn't do all of these things. Their level of observance to begin with was very, very different than what we're accustomed to. Doesn't mean it was less holy. Adrab, probably the tzaddikim of those generations were on a madre that we can't even begin to imagine. But the average person, we don't really know. And it could very well be that through 95 years of galus, they completely forgot about everything. That's a simple understanding of the pasuk. On the other hand, it could be, no, they did observe the mitzvahs, but with not the same degree of sanctity which is going to happen at this point in time now. But let's see further. V'asher yashmi v'yavi kol b'mogabachar v'shalim le'mar tzuha haru, go out to the mountain v'yavi alei zayis, bring the following items. Alei zayis, leaves of olive leaves, v'alei et shemen, and oil wood, the leaves of Eitz Shemen, some type of tree called Eitz Shemen, va'alei hadas, the leaves of hadas. Now, what is the difference between hadas and alei zayis? So the difference is, one, the leaves of a hadas are what's called a hadas shaita. She'ena roila luvkin lasa sukkah. Hadas. Now there are two different types of hadasim. There's a hadas where from the center three leaves go. We know that the hadasim for the luv have to be mishuloshim. Three leaves must come out from the same place. There's another variety of hadas where two leaves come out together, and then above it a third leaf comes out. That type of hadas, halacha l'moshe m'sinai, is possible for the dalad minim. For the dalad minim, you must have hadasim which are mishuloshim. It doesn't just mean that all three leaves are there, it means all three leaves. It's a min hadas, where all three leaves come out from the same part. So here when it says ale hadas, it means hadasim leaves which are not fit for the dalad minim, but being that they're just branches, you can use them for schach on the sukkah, v'yalei tamarim, leaves of palm trees, which we would think would be, which are leaves of palm trees would be lulavim, but here they're using it for schach, v'alei etz avos, willow, the leaves of willows, la'asois sukkos kakosuv, and use these things to make sukkos as it is written in the Torah. So here we're being taught a very explicit pasuk, telling us, filling us in on details which do not appear in the Torah. The Torah does not tell us what type of material to use for the schach. From here we learn that the material to be used, the common denominator is, they're not mekabel tumah. There are things which grow from the ground, and they are not mekabel tumah. And the examples given here in the pasuk again, olives, I think are fit. Alezayis is had, no, can't be, has to be olive, has to be alezayis, olives, the ale eight shemen, certain type of wood, ale hadat, which are posel, ale tamarim, the ale eight ovos, lasso sukos kakosuf. So then this is for schach, this is not to be used for the mitzvah of the dalid minim. Now there is an opinion in the Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda, he holds, we don't pass it like this, you only can use from schach on your sukkah the same type of material which is fit for the dalad minim, for your the four minim. Which means you have to use the leaves from an esrog tree.
So you can't use bamboos?
Nope, according to Abiyud, you cannot use bamboo, you cannot use all of these things, that all these modern. Because we don't pass it like Rabbi Yehuda. We pass it like the Rabbanon. Anything that grows from the ground, it's fit for. Now this pasuk appears to be a support to the Rabbanim, because part of the things here being used is alei eight shemen and alei zayis and alei hadas, and these things are not fit for the dalad minim. The only thing that you can possibly say will be fit for the dalad minim would be the alei tamarim. Alei tamarim are the lulavim branches, and the alei eitz avos. Eitz avos is the willow. So, okay, very good. But it says here explicitly that they're taking for the sukkos, which simply means the schach, in addition, ale eitz zayis, olive, the branch of an olive tree, the branches of ayet shemen, ale hadas. Ale hadas means hadas shoita, which we interpret ale hadas shoita, which is not fit. So how then can Rabbi Yehuda in the Gemara in sukkah tell us that the only thing that you can use for a sukkah are the same type of materials which you can use to be kind of the midst of the dalad minim? So the answer he gives is, when that's for the walls. For the walls, they took branches of ale zayis, ale et shemen, ale hadas. But for the ceiling, they only used ale tamarim and ale et avos. That's how Rabbi Yehuda answers the question from this pasuk, which seems to indicate otherwise. Okay, let's see some of the Rashis, some Midrashim, a lot of things that we need to discuss. Let's go back to Pasuk Hey and the Rashi. Let's first do the Rashis. Rashi and Pasuk Hey, not Pasuk Hey, I'm sorry, Pasuk Tess. There is no Rashi in Pasuk Hayom Kadosh, ki Yom Rosh Hashanah Hu. Ezra and Nehemiah, the Levim, tell people, do not cry. Today is a whole day to Rosh Hashanah. Ki Boichim Kol Am, Bibnei Shlei Kimu HaTorah Kiroi. Rashi says a mouthful. The reason why they were crying, it's a very powerful expression, not because of the Teichacha, not because of the Parshas HaMoadim. It was a general sadness that they've fallen far, they have not fulfilled the mitzvahs of the Torah. Le'ei nacholo, le'oni she'ein mezumin lo'i ma'achola. Rashi takes the pasuk very simply, prepare gifts for people that don't have, for the poor. according to Rashi, this is a mitzvah of tzedakah, like matanos le'avyonim. It's interesting. We use this pasuk mishloch manos to refer to. There are two different dinim. On Purim, there's Mishloch Monos and there's Matanos Levyonim. The two don't go together. They're completely separate mitzvahs. You know, there are a lot of critics today, they're very upset that people, they send these cards, very nice, that they don't send Mishloch Monos anymore, and they send cards. Instead of spending $5, $10 to buy Mishloch Monos, we send a donation to an organization, and they send you in the mail a card, money has been given. It's very nice, absolutely, it's a wonderful thing, but there's a mitzvah on Purim called Mishloch Monos. And sending a mishloch, when you send it, we all know that when someone sends you a very nice mishloch manos, that's marbe avasrayim. So who are we today to outsmart Chazal and replace our mitzvah mishloch manos ish lirayehu with Purim cards? That's not the proper theme of the mitzvah. You want to be given, you want to send money to an organization, so go send money to an organization
and
give tzedakah and also send mishloch manos. Who's stopping you? Who's stopping you? My funds are limited. Okay, so you're right. Then there's so that's a certain balance. But to go to an extreme, either way, is not good. Here, it's very interesting. This, I told you, is a makar. All the mepharshim bring us a makar that on Rosh Hashanah there's such a minig of mishloch manos. But yet Rashi teaches the words mishloch manos in the category of matanos levyonim, for the poor, gifts to the poor. Shem is looking next. Yud Aleph Machashim. The people were the Levim had a son because they were crying. They should be quiet. They should not cry anymore. Hasu loshon shesiko kmo vayas kolev yud gimel biyuvim hashem shol rosh hashanah v'tezvav ve'asher yashmiu. And Ezra and Nechemiah and Levim made it and told the people that you shall send out a proclamation that everyone shall observe the mitzvah of Sukkos on the 15th day of the month. The tzibul hashem. The word vayavar is an expression which is used in reference to a proclamation. Vayavar literally means to pass. What does it mean to pass? Sound doesn't pass. That's an expression. It's a figure of expression of speech to issue a proclamation. The sound, the rumors, and the instructions will circulate among the people. The Ali Hadas. So here we have Rashi tells us a little bit about the Gemara Masechta Sukkah. Meforash from Masechta Sukkah Zehadas Shoyte. The Hadas here is not the Hadas that we use for the lulav. She'ena roi lululuf ki im lasoi sukkah. V'alei t'mar, so here Rashi is, V'alei t'mar, Rashi is learning, not like I told you, and Ezra told the people to take the lulavim for lululuf, for the mitzvah of lulav. V'alei etz avos zehadas, so here Rashi says, alei etz avos, I made a very mistake, I told you, arvi nachal. The Arava is not the Ali Eitz Avos. The Arava is the Ali Nachal, the branch that grew by the stream, by the water. The Ali Eitz Avos, this is the Hadas that is kosher for the Lulav. Ze Hadas Harohoi Lulav Kimeforish Mesech the Sukkah. So here we have, so according to Rashi, Rashi is telling us, they told them that they should take for themselves Aravoi, Hadasim, and Lulav. What about the Esrog? What about the Arava? It's very strange. There's something here that has to be discussed. I don't know the answer. Are we here? Ezra Nechemiah is telling the people, prepare for Sukkos, build Sukkos, and for building of the Sukkos, he's telling them exactly what type of material to use. You shall use the Hadash Shaita, and you shall use the Alei Zayis, and the Alei Eitz Shemen. Three different types of material I want you to use for your schach. We never heard of such a thing before. Why dafka these three materials? He'll tell me simply because this is what was readily available in Home Depot at the time. Could be. But I'm sure there's a much deeper meaning. There must be a much deeper meaning in why dafka he selected these specific materials to be used for the schach. And then when it comes to the dalad minim, it's very bizarre. He only mentions two of the four. He leaves out the Esrog, the pre-Eitz Hadar, only mentions the Lulav, and the Hadassim. He doesn't mention the Arava. Why? So maybe you want to say a Jew. What? Yes, he has a different interpretation. He has a whole different interpretation of this.
He
also commanded, but what's missing from the pasuk? The Arinacha v'lozrachem lekatzer b'dover hamuvin. It's so pashut. Really? So they didn't know anything. They didn't even know it was sugus. It was so pashut to them. I'm not challenging him. Okay, but I didn't see anything. I didn't see Rav Schwab in the art scroll, and I have a leak of Midrashim. I didn't see that either. I didn't see it over here, anything. I don't know why, but obviously there's much more to discuss why he did not tell them, these things were not mentioned. Okay, what I suddenly wanted to tell you. Okay, let's just do the mitzvahs very quickly. And then we'll stop. It's late. We'll go back to the mitzvahs and pasuk test. Hamavinim ashahayim mivinas al mitzvah haTorah luchalam hey mamu luchalam haloy hayom kadosh hu Hashem ki rashanuhu ve'ein meroy l'sabel luchvatzkoy on lekwan rashana. Kishamam, Kirosh Lakaimu, they were sending as Rashish like Kimus Tarakuroi, Meshmanim, Machole Shamein. Okay, the doctor's not going to be happy with this, but it says you shouldn't rush on a fatty food. Right? That's what it says. Mamtakim, Mashkim Misukim. I'm not going to be happy. Sweet drinks. Le'e Nachon, Lo Lemishayna Mazon, Nachon. For the poor, already mentioned this. We'll give you strength. They were silent. Do not cry. So here the Mitzvah adds, it's missing chosim and asefer. He has those words la'ein nachon lo, ki hevinu hiskilu v'yadu b'divrei haTorah shehodi Elohim v'samchu. Zeh, they had great simcha. It was a day of matan Torah. It's an amazing what's happening here on this day of Rosh Hashanah. One hand, it's a Yom Kippur, right? They're crying. They're doing tshuva, right? That's what it is. On the other hand, it's also Yom Kippur. They're learning about Sukkot on Rosh Hashanah, and it's also a day of matan Torah. Look what's happening here. All of these events, it's a catch-all. They're crying out of tshuva. It's Adoin. Ki kadosh hayom la'adoneinu. Hashem is the Adon. It's Rosh Hashanah. I'm going to teach you about Sukkot. And the Simcha. V'yisa ach sameach. Shmini atzeres. Simcha gedoyla. And what else? The Simcha that was ki hevinu matan Torah. Yimamishka. All of the Yom Tovim you have. All of the Yom Tov you have packaged here on this one single day. Uviyam Hasheni, Pasuk Yud Gimel Nemetzudas. Uviyam Hasheni, Ragu Kira Shal Rashana, Kimei Ezra Avru LeElul. On the day of Ezra, they made Elul in Ibayar. It was 30 days. Normally it's only 29. And this year it was 30. Because the witnesses did not come. They had no choice but to observe 2 days. Day 30 and day 1. And there happened to be Thursday, Friday, and now they were stuck with an Erev Tafshilin. That Ezra and Nehemiah Levim gave a command that the people shall observe the mitzvahs. And we shall observe Sukkot, and to bring Ale Zayis, Anothim Kishahim Im Ho'olim. Little leaves, right? And the Mitzvah is just pointing out that it's impossible to make Schach with a leaf. It's going to fall through the holes. It means branch with the leaves still attached. Ale Ait Shemin, Hu Min Ilan Srak. A certain type of tree that does not produce fruit. It's mentioned many times in Tanakh. It's a very chosh of a tree. Ale Hadas. Three types of minim. It's three. It's braided. In order to make a braid, you need three. Ovois means braided. That's how we know that the hadas are three leaves coming out together. For who are did you see and this part is going back on the beginning of the pasuk, the three minim, the eight shemen, the eight hadas, and the eight zayis, al eight shemen, and al hadas. Okay, there's a lot more to discuss. We'll pick this up tomorrow. A lot of different things coming here together.